Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, welcome to Smosh Mouth. I'm Shane.
I'm Amanda, and we have a very, very, very special guest with us today. It is Olivia.
Hello, guys.
Hi, Olivia.
It's been a minute.
Hi, Shane.
It's been a minute since you've been on.
It has been a minute.
And you didn't put, like, his last time, your makeup, you really went all out.
Yeah.
I know. I had contour all over my face.
Yeah.
And now it's all blended, baby.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's the same makeup from last time. You've kept it on.
She hasn't washed her face.
You let it naturally blend.
Shane, I know you're a guy, but I don't think you understand how makeup works.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, we know that because there's the lost episode from Smosh that never aired where I did your makeup.
Wait.
Do you remember that?
No.
I've heard about
this. Do you remember this?
Okay.
There was forever ago where I actually legitimately attempted to do your makeup. And I felt really bad because I did a really bad job. And I realized how hard it is. Like when I was trying to apply stuff and I was like, oh, this does not apply how I thought it would apply.
I will say, I think it's very hard to do someone else's makeup. When
you're
doing your own, it's easier to apply it. Doing someone else's is like, you know, when you do your makeup and people are like, oh my God, can you do mine? You're like, yeah.
You look
course.
Completely different than me.
And then you do it and you're like, I try to do my mom's makeup and I'm like, oh God, mom.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I'll try to do your makeup.
Okay. People have done my makeup and they do a great job, but
I would love to see that video.
It's gone.
What do you mean it's gone?
It truly disappeared. It was like lost in the Defy shutdown.
What do we have to do to find it?
It's gone.
I think I have pictures of it on my phone.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we bring it up?
It was really bad. I actually was like embarrassed by it.
No, but I think, the memory of it will stay forever in my head.
Olivia, how are you doing today?
I am like for real asking me how I'm doing?
Yeah.
No, as a joke. No, for real. How are you
doing? As a joke, I'm doing great. For real. No, I'm kidding.
No, for real.
For real, for real. Well, I feel a little bit rushed because I rush myself because I don't give myself enough time to do things. So that is why when I sat down, I was like, oh God, I need like something in my body because my stomach will be making all sorts of crazy sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you
give yourself enough time?
You know what, Amanda? I don't
therapist here.
No.
Whoa.
I kind of agree with you though. Sometimes when you have more time, you like push it to the end and then you're I have to get in the car.
No, I literally was like, Alexina, I'm so sorry. Give me 30 seconds. I have to pee.
I'm so sorry.
I almost peed with the door open, but then I realized we're at work and that would like not be okay.
That would be so funny.
I was about to like take off my pants as I was like running through our main lobby.
Can I tell you it's actually crazy you say that. That is like a irrational fear of mine that I'll like forget that I'm like at work. I shut the door behind me at home too.
You do?
When I use the bathroom.
Oh, I never.
No.
But I just have this fear of like, what if I forget? And then it's like horrible, you know. But no, I make sure every time I enter the bathroom, I like.
You close the door?
You close the door at home. I knew that.
I totally close the door at home.
I don't.
I keep it wide open.
I keep it wide open like my legs. I mean, like,
no,
when I'm peeing.
No.
I keep it wide open, like, when I'm peeing.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
Like, no, that's not what I meant.
Uh-huh.
No, that's not what I meant. I could mean
place.
That, but it's not what I meant.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Wow.
You're not the weird one here.
Yeah, you
Shane
close
is.
Your door.
I'm the weird one for closing
Do you lock
my door.
It? Do you lock it when you're home?
I don't know if I always lock it.
So you do.
Whoa.
So maybe. So,
what's going to happen?
I don't think I lock it. I don't know.
Whoa.
Look, I did that.
You are weird.
I will do that. If I am home alone, I will still shut the door just because I like to be enclosed.
Are you worried someone's going to come in and take over? Yeah. You peeing?
I'm not worried about anything. I just like to be in a little tiny room there and be like, okay, like I'm here.
Wow.
That's what's going on.
I don't like to be in a tiny
room. Also, especially if I'm sitting down, my cats will come into the bathroom and they'll be like, can I sit on your lap? And I'm like, absolutely.
Aw,
not.
That's
right.
So cute.
You don't like
of course.
That.
No.
You don't want your cats to see.
I don't want them to be around in there.
Wow.
I don't know.
We learned so much
about
Shane.
Just leave me alone. But they hate it because if I shut the door, I will be sitting there and then all of a sudden a paw will just come from underneath the door.
Oh, cute!
And they're like, let me in. It's truly.
Signs.
It's truly like signs. No, cats are little demons.
I don't have one.
It's cute how you live your life.
Anyways, we have Olivia here. And Olivia, there's something going on in your life that is kind of new.
Jesus.
You are in the middle of... No, not that.
The way you...
No, not that.
Oh, my
Wait,
God.
Wait, what? What's going
You're
on in my
in
life?
In the middle of making...
Yeah.
A short film. A short film. Mm-hmm.
Making a short film.
Yeah.
You're making a short film.
Yes.
And how long have you been working on this?
I've been working on it for over a year. We're in Whoa. Post-production. We're in, like, the last... Like, I would say, I can't put it as percentage because this last bit is so important to mm-hmm. the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're almost done. We're picture locked. There's just, like, a few other things that we need to make it all finished. When is it ever going to be finished? I don't know. Yesterday, I was, like, something unexpected happened yesterday. You know when you asked me how I'm doing today? Well, a little bit stressed because of the residual stuff from yesterday. So my short film is picture locked. So everything in the edit is like done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we still have to do the sound mix and music and coloring.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else is like, you know, the picture is locked.
That's nice.
Yeah, the edits are done.
Yeah.
When is your desire for it to be done fully?
Good question. hopefully in today, what? It's October right now.
Hopefully today.
Hopefully the end of EOD today. No, I'm just kidding. As soon as possible, but a lot of things can't be rushed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't ever want to rush something as important as music.
Totally.
And coloring, too. It's like, oh gosh, I have to give notes right after this.
How do you feel about giving notes on your short film?
There's some, like, for example, when I was doing the color session, there's a lot of professional verbiage that I'm learning as I'm doing it. And there's certain things like, this looks a little too yellow, or this is giving like a purple hue. Like, I don't know the actual words to describe things. However, I surround myself with really supportive, helpful, knowledgeable people who will be like, oh, this is what she means, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very fortunate that I have that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So for people listening and watching, I guess we should explain, like, what's the name of this movie and what's it about?
So the short is called Wei Baba, which translates to hi, dad. Wei is how you say hi to someone on the phone in Mandarin, and only specifically on the phone when you answer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
interesting.
So my dad and me, our relationship is, you know, on the phone all the time because mm-hmm. he lives in China, and he just calls me every single day, nonstop, if I don't answer.
Every day?
Every day. My dad calls me every single day. And
I don't think I knew this.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Like, I know we're not very close, but my dad checks in on me never fails to check in on me. And if I don't answer, he will call over and over again and until I answer.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Yeah. I've gotten like 20, 30 missed calls from him before.
Holy crap.
He's worried?
Yeah. I think he's worried. And I think it's like him wanting to know what I'm, if I'm okay. Yeah. Maybe because he's worried.
I guess you are on the other side of the planet.
Yeah. I am. So.
And what's the time difference? What time is he calling you at?
So he calls me when he wakes up.
Okay.
So around like late afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's sweet.
I think it is really sweet. Okay, so it's called Wei Baba.
It's called Wei Baba. And the premise of it is the first time my dad met Sam, my boyfriend Sam. And it was 3 months into us dating, and my dad flew from China to America. We had dinner at a Chinese restaurant, and the first thing he wants me to translate to Sam. By the way, my dad doesn't speak English, so I'm the translator. So the first thing when we sit down, he wants me to translate to Sam is ask him when he's going to marry you.
Oh, my gosh.
First question.
First thing, also, 3 months in.
3 months in. Scary. And
is your dad an intimidating guy?
Very.
Okay.
Okay.
My dad is very intimidating.
I don't know why I can only picture your dad like in a suit.
Yeah, he's always in a dress shirt. He's in a polo and a dress shirt. My dad is a businessman.
Okay.
And he's, you know, he grew up in communist China. So it's like, he's
a very serious guy.
Yeah, he's very serious. However, when he turns it on, he turns it on. He's the most, my dad is like the most charismatic guy.
Okay.
He's like full of charisma and like will make, and he's very charming, you know, but also very serious. And I, growing up, I always just heard my dad screaming at people and yelling at people.
On the phone? Or?
No, on the phone.
Everywhere?
People. Yeah, like he's just, he's just a very complicated man.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's the added layer for Sam that the language barrier makes.
Yeah.
That would make any dad so intimidating if you cannot speak to them directly.
Especially Sam is
such a sweetie.
So sweet.
Who's like giggly and smiley and like, yeah, and always trying to make jokes.
Sam's are just like, hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah. And, you know, meeting someone's dad for the first time, you want to impress them. But if you don't speak their language, it's really hard. So I was the middleman. I translated. Except for all the things that mattered, I mistranslated most of the conversation.
Oh.
Whoa.
Because
did you know you were going to do that before you got there? Did you, like, expect your dad to say some shit that you were like, I'm not going to be?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So, wait. Your dad says, ask him when he's going to marry you. Did you translate that question to Sam?
Hell no.
What did you say?
I just made up some lie. And that made me seem like to my dad I was asking him the question, but made it seem like I wasn't to Sam. So, yeah, it was really, was it stressful?
Complicated.
Sort of. Was I lying? Yeah. I felt like I had to. And also, like, not to go so deep into it, I think I have a, you know, specific view on marriage because of my parents who are divorced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my dad asking me that question was also just like, who are you to ask me that question when you, you know, did all of these things in your marriage that mm-hmm. I don't believe was something, you know, that was right. So
is it traditional, you think, with your dad that you should always get married?
Yes.
Okay.
I think in a way it's also like passing on the responsibility to another man. Like, you're my daughter, now you go marry another man who can take care of you, so my work feels like it's done, and I did the thing, you know? My dad is very traditional. And also, like, in a way, he doesn't care who I marry.
Okay,
as long
that's
as
what
I
was
going to
ask.
As long
so
as
he doesn't care what culture, who you marry, as long as you get married.
Yeah.
At a certain time? Is there a time limit?
Yeah, like as soon as possible. I'm sure he wished I was married by like 21. I don't like.
Got it.
I also just, if you watch the film, you can kind of see how dismissive my dad is to Sam, who also is in the film.
So Sam played himself.
Yeah, Sam played himself.
Now, how much of a one-to-one recreation of this conversation is the film?
It's pretty accurate, but there are little improvised lines that were added. It's not, you know, foundationally, yes,
mm-hmm.
very similar. There were, I mean, it's a short, whereas the actual dinner lasted an hour and a half, whereas as short as
what
7 minutes.
What was that like? An hour and a half? You were basically, like, a tennis ball. You were like going back and forth.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
That is so awful to think about because I feel like everyone's parents say or ask embarrassing questions, right? Mm. Like, especially meeting a significant other. Mm-hmm. So to have to say their words yourself to your partner, that's a nightmare.
Well, it sounds like you didn't.
I don't think I would either. I think I would be like,
I think it's better this way.
You do?
Yeah, because I'm in total control of what I want.
See, I would hate that. I would hate
I kind
to
of
be...
love that. So does your dad think, he thinks that the dinner went the way he wanted it to go?
I mean, he's still asking me the question and, you know. Years ago.
Your dad says, and maybe if you remember, because this was years ago, but your dad says, when is he going to marry you? You ask Sam, like, what do you think of the food?
Yeah,
Sam goes, oh, it's great. And then you go back to your dad. Do you tell your dad that he said yes?
Yeah.
Or that he said,
of course. Like, I'm amazing. He should want to marry me. Like, and you're asking, like, you're going back to the question of how 101, how, you know, how similar was it? Well, we actually shot at the restaurant they met.
That's crazy.
No way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out Bistro Nas in Temple City.
That's incredible. Wait a second. So you're not in this short film.
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Are you playing yourself?
Yeah.
So you and Sam are you and Sam are reliving this.
Yes.
Was it weird for Sam to go back to, when did you tell Sam that you lied to him?
I think when he read the script.
Years later?
He's like, hey, Olivia, what's the deal here?
Yeah, yeah. And now again, when he listens and watches this podcast.
So he probably walked away that day thinking, oh, Olivia's dad is awesome.
Yes.
We get along great.
Yeah.
And then he learns later, like, oh, yeah.
He literally said, he's like, dude, your dad is like really nice. Like, and he loves you. And he's just like, he's not, you know, what you said he was going to be like. I'm like, of course.
Oh my God.
I shielded you.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, okay, that happened years ago. At what point did you decide, oh, I'm going to make a movie out of that memory, that conversation?
I was itching to make something. And I was really trying to find, you know, what I wanted to make. And I think something was in my brain saying you should just like make something from your experience. And so I was like, all right, what's a funny experience that I had? And that can reflect, you know, who I am as a person. And I think I was like, okay, like, I think it's this, you know, story. And I think even though my dad is not physically present in my day-to-day life, he has such a deep impact on me and, like, mm-hmm. who I am. And I just wanted to preserve this experience, this event that happened to mm-hmm. me. It's almost like this is, like, made for me and my dad in a way, and like showcasing our flawed relationship.
And
it's like quite vulnerable. I think in the beginning when I was writing and I was like, this is funny, I'll add jokes in here, but then I'm like realizing, wait, like, this is, my dad is getting older, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm getting older, and like I'm really glad I made this. Because even if no one sees it, it's just like the whole experience of it all that's just worth it.
Oh,
it's
totally.
Like the most fulfilling thing I've ever done.
Yeah,
no, this sounds amazing. This sounds so vulnerable. Like, it's one of those projects, and I think this is how you kind of know something's going to be good, is when you watch it and you go, oh my God, I can't believe they made this.
Wait, I never said it was good. I just want to put that on the record that I never said that it was good.
But okay.
I actually think it might be really bad.
In comparison to, because I haven't seen your film, because it's not done yet.
Might be really
but close. when I see other projects where people make really vulnerable things based on their life and their family, and I go, I can't believe they made this. Like, what's their conversation mm-hmm. with their family member going to be? Those are usually the best because it is vulnerable. So it's real and it's raw. And I don't know.
I'm scared.
Explaining the premise of it, I'm excited. Whereas I will be completely honest. I've been in this industry a long time. Usually when people tell me about a short film they're doing and they tell me about the premise, I go, cool.
Like, a girl meets a guy. Hear me out.
Hear me
out. On a date. And they're like, whoa, I've seen you before. And then they go home together.
And basically this girl is not like anyone he's ever met.
Like,
and she turns into a tree.
See,
that actually sounds awesome.
You made
awesome.
It interesting again.
That sounds cool.
Is that more interesting than what I just made?
No, oh, definitely.
No, I'm downing myself. Guys, this is scary. Talking about my shit is scary.
That is also, it's got to suck that you're watching it so many times over that by this point you're
Wait,
exhausted
so
by it.
So you wrote and directed this uh-huh. and starred in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you are so close to this.
I am.
So then did you decide the casting for the short?
Yes.
So you had to cast your own dad.
I did, and it was the most difficult thing. There were moments where I was like, I'm not going to be able to make this. I truly was like, there's no way I'm going to make this because the net is so small. I needed someone in their late 60s, early 70s, Chinese, who can speak Mandarin fluently, who sort of looked like my dad.
Right.
Oh my God.
And has the same demeanor and is going to bring the
yes.
same energy.
Yes, exactly. And it was so hard because I was watching every single Asian American TV show, movie to find a dad. And it's not like I was using a casting director. I reached out to casting directors and people that I knew who made Asian American short films and be like, do you guys know anyone that fits this description? And I would get people back, and a lot of times, like, they looked so far off from my dad, so far off from me. People who didn't speak Mandarin, people only speak Cantonese, people who were too young. It was people who didn't even live in LA, and like, I would have to fly them. And someone who lived in Taiwan who I really liked, I was like, and they're like, no, my dad can't get his visa. A lot of things that you know, were like roadblocks. And then I met Jim Lau, and my friend worked with him on, you know, I think it was a short, and then I watched it and I was like, wait, he doesn't really fit the vibe. But then I Zoomed with him and he was so prepared, and he literally transformed into my dad. Like, he's an incredible actor. His name is Jim Lau. He's been doing this for like 50 years. He's incredible. And even when he was on set the day of, my mom met him and watched him act. My mom, who was married to my dad for 17 years, was like, holy shit, this guy is literally a mirror of your dad.
Whoa.
That's gonna be so trippy.
So
he's got chills.
Yeah. My mom was like, is that my ex-husband?
Yeah. So your mom has read the script. She's seen everything up until this point. What does she think of it all?
I think she's just proud of me that I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't really, like, we haven't really discussed, you know.
Yeah.
The content of it.
You know, her voice is in it, too.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not just, like, as you know, like, sometimes in divorce situations, at least with me, my mom will call me to ask about how my dad is doing.
Like, of course.
Vice versa, you know?
Of course.
Like, trying to, like, see what's good, what's going on in their life. How do they look? How's their new wife? Like, all of those little things. So I added that into
the
film.
Why do they do – they always do that. They always call you to be like, how's your – what's going on with your dad?
Yeah.
It's never like, how are they?
Yeah.
It's like, what's –
yeah,
what's he doing?
Yeah.
What is he doing,
I'm like,
now?
I don't know.
Did he give you money to come back to home? Like, what is he doing? And you're like, okay, I am not like the middleman here.
Yeah, but I'm really lucky that I casted someone who is like resembles my dad.
That's so amazing.
Yeah, and then there's like another waiter character, Tim, who is an actual person at the restaurant that works there. He's the manager.
What?
And his name is Tim. And I begged the real Tim to be in it. And the real Tim was like, no, I can't. And I was like, please. And he's like, I really can't. I'm like, I'm really having so much trouble casting this character, please. And he was like, no. So then I met with someone on Zoom who lived in the Bay Area who works in tech and just loves to act. And he was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to fly myself down, put myself up, and...
Wow.
It was just like so nice. Like I found a lot of fun, great, kind people who were willing to just like help me out and do favors for me.
That's amazing.
I mean,
so,
I get it. Yeah. It's such a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, to get in any project right now.
To work with Sam Lerner.
That's right.
That's the highest honor.
That's
agreed.
Huge.
I really do think like Sam Lerner being like Sam Lerner. He's so funny, you know, and like people are
going, yeah,
like,
he's great.
I want to do a scene with him.
You know Sam.
Yeah, I believe I've worked with Sam before.
Goldbergs.
That's great.
So casting was like a huge push. Mm-hmm. You did that. Once you had casting, you had already written the script. You started on casting.
I was simultaneously also like budgeting. That's a huge factor.
I can't fathom that part of it.
Do you feel like you should budget before you even reach out to people about this?
I budgeted, yeah.
Yeah. So you budgeted to see how much you could even spend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you crowdfund it all, or was it just budget from your own self?
Partially myself. And I had some really lucky that I had friends who were willing to donate money. Who were like,
that's kind of what you need.
And I was like, that's so nice.
There's no money for short films.
There's no money for short films. Luckily, my friend Dorothy Wang, she's amazing. We met. Mm-hmm. She donated. And then I told my other really good friend Lily about it. And she goes, is there an opportunity for me to donate money? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, but you guys realize this is all just for vanity.
There's a real investment there, because like, look, if it does well and there's more opportunities that come from it, like to have invested in it,
right,
means like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not really good at selling myself, you know.
It's hard.
It's really hard, really, because hard. What if this thing sucks? No, it's good.
But it's your regardless, it's your story that you're putting together.
Mm-hmm.
So like, as an objective eye, yes, you can look at all the little details. You're like, oh, that's not good. But overall, it's a story that really happened to you, that meant something to you, that you're putting together.
Yeah.
For you and your family.
I think the biggest learning thing, I mean, I learned so much, but one of the main ones was budgeting, because I can't budget at all, my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And having to like look line by line at things. Luckily, I also had, you know, my friend Hannah, who's also a filmmaker, help me like proof it. She's like, okay, we went through line by line what was needed and like what could be trimmed down. And it was like really scary, because you don't want it to be over budget where it's like you can't pay for it. So then line by line, we had to figure out what we were willing to lose.
When you say that, you mean getting rid of lines is also lessening the money.
Oh, no, I meant like line by line on like the Excel sheet, like
Like every little thing.
Yeah. Like I was like, okay, costume. Well, let's take that out. Like, and production designer. I was like, I mean, the place, I don't know. Do I really need one? Or can people who have really great taste, like Patrick and Angela, come and help me out? Mm-hmm. And they both came.
And they did.
And they did.
Yeah.
They did. Angela wrapped at Smosh at like 5:30, rushed over to my house to get all the stuff that she needed to decorate and do everything, and then got up at like 4:30 the next day. And like,
if people don't know this about Angela, she's incredible at doing that.
Yeah.
She does art. She did it for I Live in Your House.
Mm-hmm.
She did all the art deck, all the design of it. She's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. She's incredible. And Pat was there too. It was like a lot. But so like insurance, you know.
Because you need to insure your short film.
You got to insure like a lot of things. And you know, because on the last day, maybe your production van gets crashed.
Did your production van get crashed?
Yeah, our PA drove it to a wall. Like backed it up.
Well, that happens.
Oh,
you know.
No. And then the person who sold us the insurance happened to be a girl that I used to dance with, and she DM'd me, and she was like, hey, like, I saw your name, you know, in this like insurance thing, like I run this insurance company, and let me know if you need any help. I was like, wait, I'm like, you could have helped me cut costs? And she's like, yeah, next time you're making something, just like let me know. I'm like, wait, and I went to school with you? Like, this is so crazy. So I was like, I'm so sorry, we crashed a van.
Oh no.
Like, can you help me out? But anyways, yeah, like a lot of funny things like that. And then like my hard drive, both my hard drives crashing. That was
as it goes.
And that was like, the scariest thing. That was the scariest thing. Like a week later, we give it to the editor, and the editor is like, oh my God, I don't know what happened. No, actually, even before that, he plugs it in. He's like, the hard drive crashed. And I was like, oh my God. And I was telling my DP, I was like, don't delete anything. Because we had like a main hard drive and then we were pulling everything from the main one. But then the secondary one crashed. And I was like, okay, let's just order another hard drive. We order another hard drive. Editor works on it for a few hours. We do edits on it. It crashes again.
No.
And I was like, oh, God. And then so I was like trying to find hard drive recovery places and found a really great one. They recovered it. Realized that it was a faulty, that manufacturer just makes really shitty hard drives, or like that batch was just bad. I don't know. It's like a trusted company, but some reason these hard drives that we ordered were just all faulty.
Wow.
And then we got another one that worked, and then just like all these things that were always on the verge of like everything collapsing. Mm-hmm. And you know, and yesterday's situation was something very similar where I was like, oh, when is it gonna be?
I feel like just the process of making a movie, I've never heard of one not having multiple catastrophic moments.
Yeah.
It feels like that's part of making a movie.
Right. But then the actual filming of it, yes, we only have.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Had a day in this tiny room. It was we shot in a private room at Bistro Nas. We had
so you
to
shot
get,
for one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had pickups for half a day, but we shot for one day. Trying, because the thing is, the location, they couldn't, like, they're a functioning busy restaurant.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You have to rent out their location.
I think they have like a Michelin star too, so it's like a Ooh. Really popular restaurant, and they have to like make money. Oh, and this is another crazy thing. Sorry, I'm just like saying how hard it is to make a thing, but
no,
that's kind of the point.
So no one's ever shot at this restaurant ever.
Okay,
and they really made that clear that they didn't let Vogue come. They're like, they're like, Vogue reached out. They wanted to shoot here. We said no.
So why did they say yes to you?
Because I wrote them, I don't know. I wrote them this email, and I felt like I poured everything out there.
I can see why they said yes. I mean, this is a true story that happened at their restaurant. Yeah. There's kind of a more genuine aspect to it, so...
And I've been going there a lot, you know, like I go there and it's like, I know Tim, the manager, and like, it feels like we are kind of friends and, but then I didn't even know they had like a social media team at this restaurant. So, you know, I met them and, you know, the marketing people were like really intimidating, really, really intimidating. And they quoted me this rate that was like, there was also
$300,000.
There was like no way I could have afforded that. Like it was, and at first we wanted to do a night shoot because we didn't want like customers to be. It was sure. going to be really loud.
Yeah,
you know. So we're like, let's make this a night shoot, and they were like, impossible. You can't shoot here at night. They only gave us certain dates that we could shoot. So there was just a lot of restrictions, and I was just like, there's no way. Like, first of all, it's so out of my budget. And then the times that they can shoot, we're like, can we shoot for 12 hours? And they're like, what? And right. you want and you want the entire backside of the restaurant? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, we need to make money.
I know.
And you're not paying us.
I'm location like, is so hard, especially if you want to do it in a working location.
12 hours is like very modest to ask for a shoot.
I know. And it's like, and they're like, well, we have lunch and dinner. And, you know, like, are you going to disrupt our all these people moving around? So that was one of those situations where I was like, there's no way I can pull this off. Like, I have to figure it out. And then we just kept going back and forth. And I was just like, I was like, what if I make content for you guys? I was like, I went on PicMonkey and I
What's
made
PicMonkey.
It's like you can make decks and posters and stuff.
Okay.
So I made a deck of like myself and basically like, these are all the things I've done. This is how many followers. This is all the brands I've worked with. And then like, I basically had to pitch myself to them and be like, I will make reels, TikToks, stories.
Wow.
I will do whatever.
Oh my God.
I will literally work here. And
so you became their spokesperson.
But this restaurant is so good and I recommend it to literally anyone visiting LA or lives here, like Bistro Nas, one of my favorite Chinese restaurants in LA.
Wow.
It's incredible.
You're still doing it.
I know.
I am.
So you are doing it now.
My contract lasts for the next lifetime.
Okay. So you Does sold not expire. Your soul.
But I'm so happy to, because this place is incredible and the people, like everyone that works there, they're just so genuinely nice. So
cool.
I was just really lucky. And so finally going back and forth, I was like, I'll do this, I'll do that. And then they were like, all right. They agreed to like a rate that I was able to afford.
Whoa, nice. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Or else there was no, and then we didn't do the overnight shoot. We actually just shot, but with people. We had to take a long break in between like lunch service.
Wow.
So 12 hours actually was not 12 hours because we had to
No, it was 20
breaks.
Hours.
It was like less like.
Oh, you had to do it in less time.
Yeah. And then 3 days before the shoot, I was like, you know what? Like I need another camera because there was no way that I could. Also like there's like the DP that I first was working with, he got a bigger gig. So he had to go work on that, obviously. Then I was like scrambling, trying to find another DP that I could trust and work closely, who understood what I wanted to make. And then I found my friend, Lizzie, introduced me to this DP that was shooting her movie in the summer. And his name is Stephen Brecken. And he's like, now we're such close friends. And like, it was such a beautiful, fun, collaborative thing that we did together. Like, I can't see myself. I can't see anyone else shooting this besides Steven.
Whoa.
He's just the best, and I love him so much. And, like, because it's, like, I'm a first-time filmmaker. I didn't go to film school. I love movies, but I don't know anything about it. And it's really intimidating because I'm, like, okay, these are these cameras, these are these lenses, these are, you know, so many things that I truly did not understand. And I'd be like Googling, like, and I'd just be asking questions.
Googling, what do I do?
I'm like, what is this? What does this mean? And like,
yeah, because there's so many different lenses for so many different shots.
Yeah, it's like anamorphic or like, I'm just like, I don't know. And
lighting in itself is such a complicated thing that you don't really realize until you're making something.
Yeah.
So you had to hire. So you did the casting, you did the budget, you did the location, and you also were hiring your crew.
Yeah. And like Steven, I'm like, Steven's repped at a huge like agency. And I'm like, I'm talking to your agent. I'm like, no. But I also had a really great producer, Tyler Mercer, who was the liaison between a lot of these things, because like I never wanted to blur the lines between, you know, budget and the creative process with my DP, you know, because like him and I, like we want to preserve that relationship. And then all the numbers and like money, because people need to get paid, you know, was dealt with my producer, who was like, you know, amazing throughout this thing. But yeah, there was like a lot of these little things that, you know, we had to figure out. And it was like, talking about money just always stresses me out, because want to always like pay everyone a really, like, I just,
right,
because, you know, it's like I want people to feel happy and like content and you
totally.
Know like,
but sometimes when you're doing a short film, people are also there because they know it's a passion project, and there's a lot of things that just I still think that if you are creatively excited about something, you will work for a little amount of money.
Yeah. Whenever I did a short film, money was never even really a reason to do them. You do them because you're just like, I need to get out there. I need to be a part of something.
Yeah. Or they believe in your story that you were putting together.
Yeah. I'm just like so grateful for literally every single person involved.
So for the past year, like every day, how many hours of every day from your past year is dedicated to this short film, do you think? Like, if you had to put an estimate, because I just feel like, has this taken over your life?
Sort of. I would wake up in the middle of the night, like...
just sweating.
No, like, weeks prior, months prior to it, and then even afterwards, I would literally wake up and be like, oh my God, wait, let's remember that. We need to add that in here. And like...
Yeah.
And I would wake up and be like, was that okay? Like, I was like, what? Like, little things would... Big things would also wake me up, and even now I wake up in the middle of the night, like having really bad self talk to myself. This is me being so vulnerable. Like, you know, it's like when you've been working on something, even a small thing or big thing, whatever it is, like you're so consumed by it, and then like I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. It's like finding a healthy balance. Yet I'm still trying to find that.
But. I feel like that happens when you are in the middle of creating something. Whether it is like a short film or a sketch or a wedding or something that you're planning that means something to you and a lot of people that you care about that you have a high opinion of are gonna watch it.
Oh, it's so scary.
It is so overwhelming and it constantly wakes you up. Yeah. And the bad self-talk, it's there because it's your fear trying to protect you.
Yes.
Right? It's trying to protect you. And like the more you do it, the more you can be like, thank you so much for protecting me. I'm going to move through this now.
Yeah.
Because I have to.
And I also think that, like, being gentle with criticism, with anything in the creative arts, it's just so helpful. Anyone showing you anything that they've written or made or you're watching anything, and even if you... I just feel like you just have to be gentle with the people, you know, who made it. Because it's fucking hard.
Well, I think it's illuminating for, like, this process... And hearing about it even, any piece of art that you see is never really one person.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of circumstances and events that culminate in a thing. So if something isn't quote unquote good, there's a million reasons for why that could have happened. And it may not be like, oh, well, the person who made it didn't know what they were doing. It's like, you have no idea what occurred. There's a bunch of parts of it.
Yeah.
But it does fall on like the... people who have their name and their like face that's like on it, which is so much responsibility. And but
it's given you a lot of perspective. It sounds
so much perspective, and truly the most exhilarating. I have more great things to say about it than all these are just like funny. I like when these things happen, I'm just like I'll tell you guys what happened yesterday. The catastrophic thing that happened yesterday was that I was showing my friend the screener link, and then I clicked on the link, and it was somebody else's short film.
What?
And this is like after submitting to festivals, and
I was like,
wait, this is not mine. Because a couple days ago, when I clicked it, it was still mine. So between the couple days, something must have glitched. Something must have happened.
Oh, my God. We submitted Cars 2.
That's someone's short film.
The like, short film Cars 2 is great.
I was like, I blacked out. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I saw you yesterday. You seemed fine. Did it happen before or after?
It happened after.
Oh, my gosh.
It happened like a few hours after.
Okay.
Oh and I was like, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What did you do?
Well, I fixed it. And we made sure that it was the right link, and we emailed programmers. We did all of that, and literally they just got back to me that they have the right link.
Thank God.
That's terrifying, though.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Already submitting it to things?
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah, tell us your plan for... like,
distribution.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'll be like youtube.smosh.com.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm giving it to you guys. Have it, please.
Stop.
Post it on Wednesday.
Great.
Post it on Wednesday.
For that.
Post it on Wednesday, please. I don't know, guys.
Where are you sending it to?
I've honestly, you guys, I don't know. Like I'm trying to figure that out still.
Okay.
But is it, do you have any hopes?
To film.
Do I have any hopes?
To Sundance?
No, I
to
think.
To Kness?
I don't think, I. This is truly, oh, I don't think, I'm so in it, and I also like don't have any expectations for it. Like truly, I have zero expectations, and I've just sort of done the inner work of thinking that like the whole journey was
worth it.
Was just the best thing ever.
Yeah,
and like, you're just you're also trying to just get it done.
Yeah, and I want to just make things, you know, and this was like the first thing, and I'm excited to make other things.
Yeah.
And
do you plan on making another short film or a feature or?
Yeah.
Wow. That is so amazing when you're like a creative person, when you go through all the stuff that kept you up all night for a year that you're like, yeah, I want to do it again.
I want to make a really fun music video.
That's
what?
Cool.
Yeah, I that seems fun. I don't know. That seems fun.
You want to direct one?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's sick as hell.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun. And I also like, this is so weird. This like, I keep joking with my DP. I was like, what if we got to shoot a Skittles commercial?
Olivia, wow. I will be completely honest. I think if there's anyone out there who's destined to direct a Skittles commercial, I think it's you.
It's you.
You have the ability. You could make the next, I'm thinking of Starburst.
I was going to say Starburst.
Berries and Cream.
Yeah, like, yeah,
you
Starburst.
Would have made that commercial.
I love candy. Like,
do you?
I take little bites of it, but
that's
I
right.
still
I remember
love
you,
it.
You used to leave like a half-eaten Skittle on the ground.
Yeah, I just like
what?
Yeah, not on the ground. Not on the ground.
That's some Olivia lore right there.
Like, are there any fun moments in your guys' lives that you would want to make into a short film? Or like, do you guys have any ideas of like writing something and then like making it?
Mm.
I have so many. I have them all written down. I have so many. But it's just
in my dark, twisted
in my
mind.
Dark, twisted journals of my house. I have a lot.
Well, I am here. Like, use me. I will, like, literally help you, like, do anything you want. I would drive around. I will go to places.
Olivia will kill a man.
I've gotten very close. I've written stuff. I've gotten very close to, like, organizing a team. But I don't know. There's life just keeps kind of derailing specific things for me. A lot of them are centered around my mom. My mom does crazy shit, and I love her. But she does really try to teach us really life lessons, and they always turn out so chaotic, so funny. And when you tell people this story, they're like, what? And I have so many of those different stories. And I guess I just haven't chosen one. And also, like, the thought of kind of organizing my year to focus on it, I'm like, I don't know when I'm going to do that. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, I have a lot of those. Jane?
So are most of yours based on real life?
Most of mine are based on real life.
Interesting.
And with like certain ideas, like I've always wanted to, it's funny that you brought up Tree in your short film, because I wrote a whole short film about a girl talking to trees. And like her connection with the trees, that it's connected to like her grandfather, because that's like a true thing that happened in my life. And I remember we were going to like get it going and start shooting it years ago. And I think I got cold feet because I was like, this is crazy. And because it's very imaginative. It's very like young childlike stuff, but it has like deeper meanings. So I don't know. You're really inspiring me right now. The thought of really going through all of that right now, I'm like, okay, I'd have to think.
You might not go through this. Like, I don't think you're going to go through the hard drives. You're going to go through the van.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to go through those things.
Okay.
You're going to go through other things, but yeah. I don't know if it's going to be those things. And
well,
it's going to be really exciting.
You're really inspiring me. I really like the idea of a true story and like things that you did as a kid and kind of making it into its own thing, whether not all of it can be true. Like you can make up different parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting to hear because, you know, I think like all of us creative people, I think of story ideas all the time, but they're almost never based on my real life. I feel like I look back my personal life and I feel like my life is too boring to have story ideas from.
Really?
Like my childhood, my family life. I'm like, it's just boring.
There's no story there. You've told me stories and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like what?
I mean, you drown. You almost die.
I don't remember that.
Right, but your mom. Like,
my life was interesting before I was conscious.
Maybe it could be from the POV of your mom.
That would be terrifying. I mean, that's. I guess I could turn that into a comedy. No, I'm just kidding.
Olivia's gonna like work with every single cast member. We're all gonna have a short film in a year.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but but I just really appreciated my peers stepping in and being so supportive and like helping me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's always like the most fulfilling thing is working with a team. I did feel that. So the closest I ever felt, and I felt like I didn't do anything with this, but you know, we did the live sitcom earlier this year and I kind of, it was like my pitch and to bring on Sid and Olivia to like kind of make this pitch of mine into a real thing. It was really cool. And every step of the way, like to just see everyone make this thing come to life was really awesome. And I think that's really tough for me as I don't take ownership of things and I don't have the confidence and my perfectionism prevents me from like starting things or believing I'm capable of doing things on my own or even with a team. But going back, I think something that I've thought about for a long time that I think would be really fun to do is I really like horror short films, like when they're done really well.
Yes.
Very subtle ones. Mm. Not like bleh, like kind of horror, but more like there's that one short film. It's like The Face of God or something. It's a really well done short film. Mm. Super subtle, and it's just got a really solid ending to it. There's a bunch that I love. There's that one, I forget the name of it, where it's literally like the entire short film is this lady, she's like in this cement, like it's kind of this slanted cement thing near a pit. And it's like 6 minutes of her just like,
what?
Stuck there, like trying not to fall in. And I'm like, that's kind of incredible that they made this into a story, made this into a gripping tale. And it's
nightmare.
So subtle. Yeah, it's a horror, but. You know, there's just really creative ways of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not someone in a day-to-day that loves, like, horror. But something about it is just been always interesting to me.
I feel like what would be cool is if there was, like, a pitch session with your closest friends and you were pitching those ideas. Because I feel like that's how, in my opinion, shorts get made or, like, become to life.
Bouncing
some people
are
like, yeah, no, I see exactly how that's shot. And you're like, really? Mm. I feel like that's how it happens, so...
I'm at my most creative when I'm with other people too, I have my initial ideas, but I do so well bouncing off of other people. So I guess it's embracing that a little bit more. But for my personal life, I can't think of anything that I'd be like, "That's a short film."
That's okay.
That's also really great.
Yeah.
You know, you have. I wish I had other ideas that were not my personal experiences. It's like literally. Putting your entire life on display.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I think that's
personal stuff. It makes it even more challenging.
Yeah, it's really challenging for me to like be having my life being perceived.
Mm.
When do you think your short will be done? Sorry, daunting question.
No, it's okay because someone asked already,
but I mean you were saying you weren't sure.
Yeah, I think hopefully in the next like month or two.
Okay.
Maybe even shorter. You know, I don't know. I don't want to rush it.
Do you think because next year you'll probably inevitably be showing it to rooms full of people?
Maybe.
Or
okay.
I'm going to burn it.
Oh.
Maybe a Smosh Christmas party. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't know. I definitely think it'll be done like before next year.
When you imagine yourself. You imagine this thing is done.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be able to sit in a room full of people and watch it?
I'm not sure.
Because I even thinking of if I were to be doing this, I would have such a hard time.
Unless it's never done. So I never have to put myself in.
Wait, there is a thing, though. There is a thing when you are doing a project, when you are making a project, like when I made my one-woman show, you kind of don't want the making of it to end.
Yeah, I don't really want to.
Because you're in a comfortable place. You're almost in this torturous, comfortable place.
Yes, yes.
Of making it, and you don't want it to end because when that ends, you go, what's next? What else?
It's also never really done. You're probably going to always.
I mean, it will be done if it's.
But I mean, in the process of making it, there's always going to be something you feel you could do.
Yeah, I think it was like also like the day after we wrapped, I was like, meh.
Oh.
I was like, no one's making me sign documents. Like, my producer isn't calling me to sign things, and I'm not constantly on the phone with my DP. I'm like, what's?
It's sad.
Like, yeah, I was like,
you're my family.
But then I realized I didn't expect the rush of other things that were going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Like, post is usually the worst part.
Jesus. I'm like, God, this is so hard.
The best part is making it, obviously.
Yeah, making it and then making it again.
And then making it again. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so cool because, you know, you could have just not done this. But I think it's cool that you are doing this, that you chose to do this. And it's daunting, but it's a risk. And it's a project. And it's... Oftentimes the scariest, like most daunting things are the most fulfilling.
Yeah, it's definitely changed my perspective on like how I want to, you know, live my life and what types of things I want to do and what I want to put my energy towards. And like, this was the best experience ever. And now I'm just like, I just want to do more things like that. You know,
that's great.
When you do it again, what is the thing you're going to remember from this experience? When you do it again, you're like, I learned that. I got to make sure that I do that.
Everything. Because I'll tell you a really challenging thing that I was always looking at, which was like figuring out the shot list with my DP. But I also, you know what? Time. Time is one of those things I'm like, I really need to get more time, especially when because I was in it, I didn't have time to watch playback because that would just take so much time out of the 12 hour day I had. Mm-hmm. And I think having enough time to see all the...
A longer shoot day. Not as rushed, in a restaurant.
I learned literally... so much, and I'm going to continue to learn because there's going to be new things and I'm going to want to make new things that are going to be different. So it's just like an ever forever learning thing, I guess.
Okay, so before we end this, for so many of our listeners, I feel like there's probably definitely a few people who want to make a short film.
Mm-hmm.
Now, say they're not in California, say they're, I don't know, in some other state or some other place. What would be your best advice for if they wanted to get this going?
I think having a clear idea of what you want to make,
mm-hmm.
but also being collaborative.
Yeah.
And being nice to people.
That's probably the best advice.
That's huge,
yeah. Actually.
Don't burn your bridges. Be nice to people.
Being like nice to people. And, I guess it's like, it's so funny. I would never think this, but now I'm like, wait, you have to budget things out.
Yeah.
You know, like how much things cost, how much the camera's going to cost and all these little things. But I think you'll figure all of that out if you believe in yourself, have a clear vision and be nice to people.
Yeah.
That's legit.
That's probably the best advice you can give. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, it's a creative experience. I guess you have to be creative with what you're capable of, too. Like, on a budget level, like, you're going to have to change things up.
Yep.
Yeah, and things cost money.
Money.
That's the biggest lesson that we've learned today, is that things cost money.
Things are expensive, and being nice to people goes a very, very
being
long
nice to people
way.
Goes a long
way. I'm going
to
start doing that.
Being nice to people.
I'm
so glad.
I think I'm gonna start being nice to people.
I'm so happy.
I know. We're all this whole thing was meant for
me.
This is actually an intervention.
All right. You guys heard it. I'm going to start being nice to people. So get ready to start seeing that in our content and on this podcast.
But Liv, I am so unbelievably proud of you.
Oh, you guys.
Thank you for coming on the pod and sharing all your vulnerable experiences.
Oh, well, thanks for having me share these vulnerable experiences.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Scary as heck.
Experiences.
And I'm sure people will get updates as this moves along. And...
yes, it will be finished. You guys, wait. This is actually really important.
Okay.
Okay. If you're listening and you want to be updated on all of this stuff, I have an Instagram.
Oh?
For this film.
Okay.
Okay.
Called Wei Ba Ba Film, I think. No, yeah, it is. I'm going to put on my Instagram too.
We'll link it too in the description.
Yeah.
Okay,
right now there's no photo and it looks like a bot, but it's not. And it's mine, and I'm going to be posting updates and fun things, and you guys can see, like, BTS, little, you know, like, all the cool
stuff.
This
is perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Hey, so guys, follow her on Instagram, follow...
Wei Ba Ba Film.
Wei Ba Ba Film, but we're going to put it in the description.
So yeah.
Follow along. I will be following.
All right. Well, thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Amanda and Shane. Thank
You're
you,
so
guys.
Welcome.
Thank you guys for listening and watching.
Guys,
and
go be nice.
Yeah, be nice and set a budget. All right, goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.